Have you ever felt your body recoil from the people you love most? There's a moment many mothers know but rarely name, when your toddler reaches for you and everything inside screams, "Not again." Your skin crawls, your jaw clenches. You'd give anything for 10 minutes where no one needs your body for anything at all. This isn't postpartum depression, though it often gets confused with it. This is being touched out, a visceral, overwhelming sensation when your body has been so thoroughly claimed by others that you've become a stranger to yourself. It's the physical manifestation of what happens when motherhood demands the complete surrender of bodily autonomy, transforming women into 24/7 feeding stations, comfort objects, and jungle gyms. The phrase "touched out" captures something profound about modern American motherhood that goes far beyond simple fatigue. From nursing infants who treat breasts as all-access buffets to toddlers who climb mothers like playground equipment, women's bodies become public infrastructure, accessible, expected to function flawlessly, and rarely given maintenance. During the 2020 pandemic lockdowns, this reality intensified to a breaking point. Mothers found themselves trapped in endless cycles of diaper changes, meal preparation, emotional regulation, and physical comfort with no backup systems, no breaks, no escape routes. The isolation revealed what had always been true. American mothers parent in a vacuum that would be considered neglectful in most human societies throughout history. What makes this experience so isolating is how it's simultaneously normalized and silenced. Mothers whisper about it in bathroom stalls and private Facebook groups, but rarely in daylight, where it might challenge our romanticized notions of maternal devotion. Maternal overwhelm reflects systemic oppression, dismissing women's physical struggles as biological inevitability rather than political failure. Mothers feeling touched out face expectations to perform sexually, excel professionally, manage households, and remain pleasant. Healthcare providers frame postpartum anxiety as hormonal rather than a rational response to impossible circumstances. America remains the only developed nation without paid parental leave, treating childcare as private burden rather than public infrastructure. Pregnancy textbooks don't prepare you for how profoundly these experiences challenge bodily understanding. Women navigate between Western medicine's history of pathologizing female bodies and natural birthing philosophies glorifying suffering as transcendence. The medical system violates boundaries it claims to protect, doctors inviting observers without real consent, performing procedures that leave women feeling examined rather than cared for. Then childbirth, a catastrophic collapse of boundaries between self and other. 36 hours of labor, the sensation of being blasted apart, afterward, caring for a baby like a wound. Blood clots, nearly fainting, caught by a nurse who becomes the first person to offer care without taking, brushing tangled hair, wrapping you in warm towels. The postpartum body becomes crime scene and miracle simultaneously, and no one tells you how to hold both truths at once. Early motherhood brings unexpected pleasure, particularly through breastfeeding, what one writer calls bottomless, unpolluted intimacy. The baby's rhythmic swallows, oxytocin flooding your system, a hypnotic state where the world fades. This relationship feels unspoiled by gendered power struggles, at least initially. But this pleasure comes with crushing pressure. Breastfeeding's benefits are promoted without weighing the pain, exhaustion, and loss of freedom involved. America offers no national paid leave, minimal lactation support, few workplace protections for pumping, then acts surprised when women struggle. Returning to work 3 months postpartum means organizing schedules around breastfeeding, falling into intensive parenting, the child-centered, expert-guided, emotionally absorbing approach that emerged as women entered the workforce. This created the classic American childcare trap. You can't afford childcare without a job, but can't work without childcare. The choice to stay home isn't really choice when affordable childcare costs more than many women earn, when parental leave is unpaid, when workplace policies assume workers have wives managing everything else. The contradiction is staggering. We're told motherhood is sacred while being offered virtually no material support to do it well. America's childcare system exemplifies market failure poverty. Poverty wages for workers, mostly women of color, unaffordable costs for families, zero recognition as essential infrastructure. Capitalism pushes costs onto families while relying on women's unpaid domestic labor to subsidize everything else. Even Marx dismissed domestic work as unproductive because it leaves nothing behind, missing that care work's value lies in its temporal nature, effort consumed as quickly as it's spent, yet essential for survival. Modern America erases women's domestic labor while depending entirely on it. Many women don't realize how thoroughly society is built for men with wives until they're drowning in dishes, laundry, meal planning, and emotional labor while maintaining careers that penalize caregiving. The careerism paradigm requires children's absence for 40-plus hours weekly, a demand that only makes sense if you believe raising humans is less valuable than paid work. By the mid-2010s, attachment parenting had reached peak influence. Birth bonding, breastfeeding, baby wearing, bed sharing, constant responsiveness. But it assumed mothers as exclusive attachment figures, erasing fathers as primary caregivers, queer families, adoptive parents, or the extended networks that raised children throughout history. Parenting became performance art, driven by incredible competition and insecurity. Social media amplified this exponentially, turning every moment into potential content, every struggle into personal failure rather than systemic breakdown. As children claim bodies as curios, finding boundary language proves surprisingly difficult. Phrases like, "Mommy is not a jungle gym," feel awkward and insufficient. Cultural messages positioning your body as others' plaything make asserting boundaries feel like betrayal rather than self-preservation. By the late 2010s, attachment parenting evolved into gentle parenting, emphasizing constant emotional availability. But by 2022, many parents expressed exhaustion from the deference to a child's every mood. When does validating children's feelings cross into erasing parents' needs entirely? The pandemic made touched-out experiences impossible to ignore. One viral confession resonated with millions. "All day, my body belongs to another human being, and at the end of the day, I am done being touched." This tension between meeting children's needs while maintaining bodily autonomy became a defining challenge for those balancing attachment parenting ideals with their own mental health. Nothing makes you feel less motherly than rage at your child. After the 2016 election, that rage became unshakable, watching male power consolidate while trapped in domestic labor. Women's anger gets dismissed as nagging rather than recognized as justified response to America's isolating parenthood models. The pandemic crushed remaining illusions. Drowning in domestic labor, she quit drinking entirely, the ultimate refusal, taking her body back. The couple separated within their home as she withheld sex, not from frigidity, but resignation. Her love language became refusal. Punishment, yes, but also a request for penance. Motherhood triggered unprocessed memories of violation, constant touching, reopening wounds thought healed. She feared for her daughter, that she might experience violation, blame herself, inherit patterns of shame and silence. Parenting required imagining something beyond the painful truth that being female means having been robbed of the potential for human choice by men who love to hate us. She used their time together to actively teach consent. "I don't like it when you tug on my nipple. Stop licking my arm." These small moments became opportunities to model self-advocacy, lessons she'd never received herself. Our bodies transform irrevocably through parenthood. Care rewires brains, alters skeletal structures, and unearths buried memories. Anthropologist Dana Rafael called this matrescence, not becoming a mother, but learning to mother, to care for yourself while caring for another. Most parents aren't prepared for these changes, especially the stress of constant touch and physical labor without support. Yet discovering the touched body offers possibility, the chance to build new paradigms rather than reclaim lost parts. Real change requires what Mansi Fraser calls gender justice, revolutionary models that induce men to become more like women are now, people who do primary care work. This means dismantling the gender coding of care, plus employment policies offering time for care work and continuous social services. Economic autonomy through unemployment benefits and child tax credits during the pandemic proved that supporting caregivers works. Parenting is fundamentally inefficient, at odds with a culture obsessed with productivity. Care takes time, but it teaches us that our best work happens body to body. Your body is not public property. Your exhaustion is not natural. Your anger is justified. And your refusal to perform, to sacrifice endlessly, to disappear, might be the most revolutionary act of all.